Well, let's talk about the Tar Heel women's basketball game that we just got done with on Sunday. The Heels were down 19 points, came roaring back, erased a 6-point deficit in the last 25 seconds. Paris Key with a game-tying 3-pointer to send it into overtime, and Carolina went on to beat Duke 92-86 in Carmichael Arena. That was the game of the year. Meanwhile, the Carolina-Duke rivalry is heating up on the men's side. Both teams ranked in the top 10 again this year, as per usual. And the Duke men's basketball team just scored a big, big recruit for next year, landing Zion Williamson. Now they've got three top recruits coming in next year on top of what they already have. So continuing with the one-and-done trend versus Carolina's, sticking with those players that are going to stick around for 3 or 4 years. Different strategies have paid off differently for both teams, but just another twist in this ongoing rivalry. To talk about all of that, we got Dr. Deb Stroman on the line, UNC professor, former college basketball star in her own right, longtime sports commentator. And Deb, let's start with Tar Heel women's basketball, because that game against Duke, I know Carolina men's basketball is having another good year, top 10. We've had some great highlights already, but that win over Duke on Sunday was huge.
Well, there is no doubt it's something very, very special. I wasn't born here in the state, but to me, it's the epitome of the saying being Tar Heel born and Tar Heel bred. This is the Tar Heel bred part. Once you come to this state, you learn the importance of this basketball season and how it is so engaging. Now, for the non-sport fans, I can't really speak to them, but there is nothing more incredible in terms of college sports than this rivalry. But it was a game that Duke, on paper, should have won. And if you look at the first three quarters, they should have won. But what you can't measure is heart. And the Tar Heel women, they would not give up. They did everything that they had to do. They knew their roles. Paris Key was playing like the All-American candidate that I think she is. And she just put the team on her shoulders, and she led them to a victory. I know Duke, with all due respect to Duke and their great athletics and great basketball tradition, I know they were heartbroken because UNC really, really gave them everything and would not quit until that final buzzer.
And you really talk about how important this rivalry was, and you mentioned, or rivalry is, and you mentioned, you know, non-sports fans having a little bit more difficult time getting into the rivalry. I've seen total sports haters get into some of these really exciting games between these two teams, and you talk about how important this rivalry is in terms of just the community here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Durham, and also in terms of the effect it has on the individual players. Because, I mean, the Tar Heel women's basketball team is a team that has been up and down this year. They've struggled in some games. They have kind of seemingly given up at the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. They've let leads slip away, but you put them up against a rival in Duke, and all of a sudden it's literally a completely different ball game.
And you're exactly right in how it affects the community. I am the new chairperson of the Orange County Human Relations Commission, and I've certainly served in other capacities with our community and on campus. And one thing that we have to schedule around is basketball. When the men play, when the women play, you've got traffic concerns. You've got people who are trying to get off campus. You have organizations that know they won't have full attendance because of all eyes are on these games. And that game this past Sunday, Duke brought a great crowd over. Carolina, we were kind of mixed as to what the crowd might be because of the weather concerns, but the students showed up, the arena was filled. And then thinking about, well, if Carolina is struggling, that's tough. But if we lose to Duke, that's like the punch in the stomach. Mm-hmm. And so everyone knew that you have to throw out the records, you have to throw out the statistics, because even though Duke is ranked in the top 10, that Carolina, because of the nature of the rivalry, that they would show up. And I tell you, it was definitely one of those, what they call them, classics, one for the ages. That was the type of game that was performed by the players and, of course, the coaching staff. Carolina coaches just did a great, great job of getting the right players in at the right time.
You mentioned the importance of basketball, and it's kind of taking us afield of the Carolina-Duke rivalry, but just the importance of basketball in general and having to schedule events around the basketball season. I know I'm planning a wedding for this spring, and we're looking at the schedule, and we're saying, well, can't do anything before the first weekend of April because who knows how far Carolina's going to go, and then literally every other organization has the same thought, so they schedule everything for those next 3 weeks in April. So our wedding's in mid-May, precisely because of the Carolina basketball season.
Well, that's great. you really should get someone from the program to be a guest or put up something
there
in relationship to that. But yes, it is just a part of the region. Once you move here, you pretty much have to adopt the school. I was talking to former UNC and NFL running back Sean Drone the other day, and he was talking about how for basketball, the big rival is Duke, but for football, it's NC State. But regardless, you've got to pick a school between the three. I think for those of us who just really respect Wake Forest, you can add Wake Forest and you still won't have the hatred or the rivalry that you will with NC State or Duke.
Yeah. Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, UNC professor, sports commentator. We're talking about the Carolina-Duke rivalry, and let's go over to the men's side. It just had that great women's game between UNC and Duke. Obviously, the Carolina-Duke men's games haven't happened yet, but we're already seeing some developments. Both teams are ranked in the top 10. Carolina's going to drop next week, but you know they'll be back. Duke's near the number one spot, getting up there close to it, and they just landed Zion Williamson as a top recruit, and that continues in Coach K's vein of really, you know, going down the John Calipari route of going after the one and dones, whereas Roy Williams, either by choice or by circumstance, the difficulty in recruiting following the NCAA investigation, but has really gone all in on recruiting players that he thinks are going to stick around for 3 and 4 years. And both teams have had quite a bit of success that way, so it really underscores the difference between these two programs.
Well, if you talk to Coach K, he would say that going after one and done, he definitely has not adopted the Kentucky model. He just says he wants the best players, and if indeed they are ready to go to the next level, just like a first or second year student that would get a job offer that was really, really attractive from IBM or whatever company, that he encourages them to leave. Now, in terms of how that translates to wins in the NCAA tournament, it's definitely mixed. But he and his staff have put together an excellent formula to bring in guys that quite possibly they won't get as many minutes because they might have to sit. Coach K has had a number of transfers, especially from the players who aren't necessarily the top players in the country, but they could play. And so they would rather go to another place where they could get more minutes. And then on the other side, Coach Williams would say that I want those one and dones. I want players that are 5 stars and that are listed in the top 10. Now, we definitely know there was a little recruiting bump, although if you look at the players who are on our roster that he recruited over the past 2 years, they've done an excellent job. And no one can hiccup or say anything negative about being in 2 Final Fours and winning one of them. But this year's class, he's got 2 McDonald's All-Americans. And so arguably, he's still one of the best recruiters in the country. Is he getting those ones that people predict that will be automatic one-and-dones and they'll leave for the NBA? Well, that's a question mark. But both programs definitely have their own style. They have their own culture. And we're just blessed to have winners. And so whether you're a Duke lover or hater or Carolina or lover or hater, you've got great basketball in this area. And every night, in fact, we should appreciate the regular season because so much gets put on March Madness and whether or not you're going to make it to the Final Four. But, you know, every week during the basketball season, we get to watch some of the best basketball in the country, and it's right here.
And I know you also specialize in researching the business of sport, not just on the court but off the court. What does it mean for our community, for Chapel Hill, for Carrboro, for Durham, for the Triangle, for North Carolina in general, to have not just these two great schools next to each other but this great rivalry?
Well, some people would say that sports, that's the front porch for your home, and sports is definitely the front porch for Duke and Carolina. We know there are outstanding students, staff, and faculty members doing amazing research, teaching, projects, experiential education, but a lot of people around the world know these great universities because of our sport brand. And that is like the entryway into all the other things that we do. In terms of economic impact, it's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, whether it's game day and all the people who come in, the non-locals, using our motels, hotels, restaurants, transportation. It just makes a difference in our community. And that, of course, improves our community and our lifestyle, so that corporations will want to move to Research Triangle Park or to the Triangle because the culture is very, very engaging. People are concerned about wellness and health. There's wonderful activities. The entertainment comes here. We have some of the top sporting teams in the country, in the world, that will come to Chapel Hill and to Durham to compete against Duke and NC State teams. And so it really, really just lights up our community to have a wonderful sport program. And I know there are many people, whether it's through a student evaluation, whether it's through interviews with our community folks, that people move here, people stay here because of our sporting life. And so even though we get frustrated with the traffic jam, or we think that student athletes might be exploited, or that we're concerned that the coaches make too much money, we all have to feel good in the fact that they bring a lot of positive things to our community.
So it's safe to say if we do end up landing that second Amazon headquarters, it'll be partly because Tyler Hansborough played through a bloody nose 10 years ago?
Yes, we can put quotation marks around that. But there's no doubt that corporations look at our sporting life and how the community is feeling good about one another with community engagement.
Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC professor, thank you so much.
Thank you.